want to tell you a story today, a fictional story about a real life thing. The cardboard that says anything helps. The guy that invented this saying, his name is Carl, and he's reduced to the cardboard once again. He hates this, being on the cardboard, he calls it. Making it out to the intersection and holding the cardboard sign. He's proud for this work. He's seen other people hold this sign up, and he says, that's my work. Anything helps. That's a good one, right? He's on his way out there. It's been a rough time. He's back on the street, back on the cardboard. He got kicked out of the shelter. There was a fight. There might have been drinking involved. He's out for 60 days. Back to the cardboard. On his way to the street, he sees some other cardboard he's not so impressed with. Now, that one about veterans, you know, disabled vet, that's a good one. But what really annoys Carl is the young kids that hold up the Vietnam vet sign. He says, dude, you weren't even alive during that war. The least you can do is pick a war that happened in your lifetime. So Carl makes it to the street with his anything helps. And he's standing there not too long before an SUV pulls up and the guy rolls down the window. He says, hey, just tell me honestly what you're going to do with the money and I'll give it to you. And Carl doesn't miss a beat. He says, I'm going to buy the new Harry Potter book. The guy in the car laughs. It's funny, right? That's funny. He says, man, you're a funny guy. He uses more colorful language than that, but man, that's funny. And Carl looks at the guy, and he's looking at the light, which changes, and he's thinking it over, and he says, yep, you're a funny guy. And he throws him a $20 bill. Fast forward to later on the same day, Carl's at a bookstore in the mall. And he's got, oh, $67 from his couple hours on the cardboard. And guess what? He's buying the new Harry Potter book. It gets better. Flashback to a few years back during happier times, when Carl lived in a very modest apartment with his wife and his son, Billy. I think these were the good days. They weren't on the streets. They weren't in the shelters. He had a job, but his wife got sick, and he had to quit his job to take care of her. And soon, or eventually, she died, leaving it to just Carl and Billy. And Billy, there were medical bills and expenses that Carl couldn't pay, so the next thing you know, he's on the street, or he's in a shelter. And then he's had to surrender Billy to state custody, and Billy ends up in foster care. That's the backstory. Fast forward now again to this day in the bookstore where Carl has just spent at least $20, probably $28, right, on the new Harry Potter book. Turns out it's Billy's birthday. And Carl may be homeless and he may be on the streets. He might even be back on the cardboard. But he's a dad. And he remembers Billy's birthday every year. And some years, more than others, he's able to do something. He makes his way to Billy's home, his foster home, which, by the way, is against the rules, right? You can't necessarily do this. Sometimes there's visitation rights and whatnot, but you can't just show up with gifts, even on the birthday. But he does it anyway. Billy's new home, his foster parents, they're good people. You should know this. They're very conservative Christians. For instance, they wouldn't like the idea of Billy reading the Harry Potter book because they think it's satanic. It's got witches and witchcraft and all that. So they're strict in that way. But they're very good people. And they provided for Billy, and Carl shows up there on his birthday, and he knocks on the door. And the woman there knows immediately who he is and says, you can't be here. He says, well, it's his birthday. I just want to share this present with him. And she looks at the book, and you can see her disapproval, and she's just not sure, and says, well, I'm not sure we can let him read that book, but I'll keep it, and I'll give it to him, and I'll just let him know that you were here. So Carl, really disappointed they didn't get to see Billy, didn't get to physically hand him the book, the new Harry Potter book. See, back in the days when they were good days, he read the first three Harry Potter books to Billy every night. So this is a special connection they have. So he's making his way back to the downtown where he lives with his cardboard. And Billy comes riding up on a bike, a new bike. And Carl thinks his foster family got him a bike for his birthday. That's really nice. It's one of those, I'm happy, but I'm really sad. This is who I am and where I'm at today. And Billy has the Harry Potter book with him, and he gives it back to Carl, and he says, Dad, I can't keep this. You should have this. And they go back and forth, and Billy explains to Carl, I already read it, by the way. I snuck a copy from a friend at camp, at church camp this summer. So I've read it. It's really good, and you'll like it. So he wants him to have it. So he leaves. And they have that moment. And Carl had his gift to share with his son. It's his birthday. And everything he could do, you know, if he had to spend more hours out there, you know, if it wasn't for the guy in the SUV with the $20 bill, he might still be out there. But that's what he does. Because anything helps, right? I'm telling you this story, by the way, which is a work of fiction, and just so I don't get accused of plagiarism, it's in a short story I read by Jess Walter. He's a great writer, one of my new favorites, so I encourage you to read that. And I'm not sure how I feel about this. I can put this on the communion table next to the offering plate, but you know what? Like I told the kids, this reeks of desperation. I'm not sure that's where we want to start from on Stewardship Sunday. Desperation. But it's also a very true story, isn't it? That anything helps. And the other reason I tell that story is that behind this sign, there are people. There are human lives. And they're not all, you know, if they tell you they're going to buy the Harry Potter book, they're probably lying, mostly. I mean, that was a good story. But have you seen the sign? The guy says, I need to buy beer. At least I'm honest. Yeah. Well, I think, well, thanks for your honesty, and you've given me permission to keep driving and not give you my money. Because I'm not sure it's really true that anything helps, because sometimes what we do hurts other people. So it's a fine line. But the point is, and I picked those words carefully, because those aren't my words, those are Paul's words. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? You didn't? You read it. Yeah, it's where it starts. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, Paul says, the point is this. Don't you love it when Paul gets down to business? He's like, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I looked that word up today, by the way. I was curious. I'm not real good with Greek, but I looked it up, and the word in Greek is hilarion. Yeah. Transliterated, it's H-I-L-A-R-I-O-N, like hilarious. The Lord loves a giver who gives with hilarity. A hilarious giver, a laughing giver. Someone who is just ecstatic in their joy to give. Isn't that something? Put that on a sign. I haven't seen that sign yet, have you? God loves a cheerful giver. That'd be a good one, actually. Here's a true story. It's not a work of fiction. This guy, Ched Myers, lives in Los Angeles, and he's a brilliant New Testament scholar. He's also a Pentecostal preacher, and he ran a street ministry for many years. He encountered a guy one time with this sign. Seriously, a homeless guy on the street had a sign that said, the consciousness of scarcity is the root of all evil. What does that mean? Anyone want to take a stab at that? We have bought into a lie. There's not enough, so this is mine and that's yours, and you know, I gotta, you know, yeah. The lie is that there's not enough. And Paul and other, it's throughout the Bible, is the affirmation that there's plenty. There is enough. And what the Bible tries to do a lot in a lot of places is to wrestle with the idea that some people have too much and some people don't have enough. And our decision to give joyfully with hilarity might be one way to deal with that. And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you the truth right now. I've bought into this lie myself. I'm actually kind of fearful today. Jerry Warwick told me that probably we can expect to be $20,000 short this year from where we were last year when it comes time to make our budget. That scares me. There aren't a lot of places in our budget to make that up. And it has an effect on me and my livelihood, probably. So, but that fear is not the right place for me to be. I know that. And some days I can breathe deeply and I can let go. You know, like I said in our prayer, there's not room in here. When I bring in the breath of God, the fear and all that other insecurity leaves. And I need to just keep breathing. Guess what? There will always be enough air for me to breathe. and I'll keep doing that. But where do we start from? Like I said, there's a lot of words in here that were worthy of highlighting as I just thought about abundance and bounty and growth and enrichment and riches. And let me just read some of them. The one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. God loves a cheerful giver. He will provide you with every blessing in abundance, not in scarcity or not in just the right amount, but with abundance. So that always you will have enough of everything. I mean, it's not just you'll have enough of what you need, absolutely, just to get by, but you will have enough of everything. So that you may share abundantly in every good work. And again, God will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase. You hear the language? Multiply, increase, bounty. You will be enriched in great generosity. So that the needs of the saints will also overflow, that giving to the needs of the saints, all the goodness will overflow into others. It just goes on. It doesn't stop. The abundance, the bounty, the riches, the gratitude, the thanksgiving, the sharing, the planting, the harvest. It's rich. We are rich. So, from the desperation of anything helps to some other messages, and some of the best messages walked out of here a little while ago, didn't they? Your decision may be key. I'm going to put that in a sermon to come. Leave it. When I ask Dylan, of course, I'm going to get a deep and profound answer. Your decision may be key. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. My decision. Am I going to live out of fear of scarcity or out of the faith of abundance, the joy and the hilarity of being in this place where I have enough? I'm going to try to do the latter. I'll probably have a relapse here and there into fear, and I'll probably hold on to the idea of scarcity a little bit. But on good days, I will live in the recovery of abundance. Thanks be to God.